It is such a privilege to be here, gathered with you this morning. It's awesome to have my parents here. Came from Victoria. So exciting. Man, what an honor it is to bring the Word of God with you this morning. I'm so excited. Whenever I get a chance to open this Word, I'm always looking forward to what God wants to speak to His people. And I really think that God wants to impart something to all of us today. So I'm really excited. Man, I love hearing everybody talk. I love the excitement. You know you're in a healthy church when the pastor's got to be like, hey, guys, come back, stop talking. Like, that's a good sign. So we're in a good place. We're in a good place. We're going to continue through our series, our Advent series, as we make our way through. And last week, Pastor Daniel talked about hope and that Jesus is the hope that we've been long awaiting for. And then this morning, I have the amazing privilege of leading us through peace and what that looks like in our world today. How many of us know that we live in a world that is filled with chaos, is filled with people that are confused, people that are just looking, searching for something. There's so much mental illness, people feeling inadequate about who they are. You know, there's so much confusion even about gender, who they are. But I wonder if we were to strip all of this language away, you know, people being insecure, feeling inadequate, I wonder if we could say that the world that we live in today isn't struggling with mental illness, isn't struggling with maybe their own image, but they're struggling with perhaps a lack of peace. So much of our society is plagued with this, but we as God's people have this opportunity to be people of peace. So good. Maybe you're in the house of God today and you're maybe thinking, man, I've been a Christian a long time. I come to church every Sunday. I raise my hands during worship. I give. I talk to people. I talk to my neighbor. But I still feel this hole in my heart. I still feel like I'm still searching for this peace, but I don't know where it is. I wonder today in this short time that we have this morning, I think my goal, and I would love it for all of us here today, is when we leave this place, we would have this fresh revelation of what peace is in our own lives and that Jesus is the reason that we have peace in our world today. And so I want to propose a question. I want to kind of anchor our conversation today, and that is this. Can we have peace in the storm? Think about this as we talk this morning, as I share verses and as we talk and as hopefully make you guys laugh a little bit because I think I'm sort of funny. My wife can attest to that. My goal is that we would experience the peace that's only found in Jesus and that we would continue to stir up the question, can we have peace in the storm? So we're going to open the Word of God because we at Redemption Church believe that the Word of God is alive and it's active. And when we preach, we want to preach from God's Word. And so this morning, we're going to open our Bible. So if you have one, we're going to open it to Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. And Micah in the back is doing a great job. He's already got it on the screen behind me. That's so helpful. I'm going to read from the NIV. This may be a story that you've are familiar with, but I just want to encourage you to lean into the story. You know, there's one thing when we can read the story and it just says words on a page, but when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit can illuminate these words and it can become real and alive. And I just really pray that as we read the word today, though it may be a familiar story for a lot of you, I just really pray that it would sink deep into your hearts today. Amen. So let's read. It's in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. It says this, "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him." Verse 37 says, "A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion." I love that detail. "The disciples woke him and said, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drowned?' Jesus says, 'He got up and rebuked the wind, and he said to the waves, "Quiet. Be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?'" And verse 41, and I'll end here, and it says, "They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?'" I want to preach from the subject today, peace in the storm. Peace in the storm. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, we need some peace." And turn to the other neighbor and say, "Neighbor, I've been waiting all week to sit beside you in church today." I've been waiting all week. You really know who your true friend is, the one that you turn to first. Let's pray as we make sense of God's word this morning. Father, we love you. Mm-hmm. You are good, you are faithful, you are kind, you are loving. Mm-hmm. Jesus, we just pray that as we open your word this morning, would you speak to us? Yes. Lord, I pray that though I may be speaking, I ask God that your voice would be the loudest voice in the room. Yeah. And God, as we leave this place, we just ask that nobody here would leave without a fresh glimpse of Jesus, of who you are. Lord, you have a great plan for every person in here. And I thank you that no one's here by accident. God, as we talk about peace today, Lord, will we not just talk about it, but would it be something that we experience firsthand in our lives? Jesus, we love you and we give you all the praise. And if you're in the house of God, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I was a big baseball player growing up. Does anybody in the house of the Lord here ever play baseball? Any baseball players? What about slow pitch? Any like soft, like slow pitch? Okay, a couple more hands there. Sports was a huge part of my life. A lot of the times when I speak, I'm always reminded of certain analogies that come with sports. I think sports, they teach you a lot. They teach you about discipline. They teach you about, you know, how to work in a team. They teach you that sometimes it's okay to win, and it's also okay to lose. But how many of us know that sometimes when it comes to sports, the thing that really makes or breaks it for a person's experience is the coaching that you have? So for me, my main sport that I played was baseball, as I already said, and man, I had a lot of coaches over the years. Some of them were great, some of them, still to this day, I think, man, I'm really glad I'm not on this person's team anymore. There were some stressful moments in the early years. But as I got a bit older, you know, I learned to mature and embrace the criticism that's sometimes needed. If you want to get to the next level, sometimes you need to be coachable. You need to be willing to be wrong. You need to be willing to just take some criticism. Even though it may be a little harsh, the coach wants the best for you. And as I got a bit older, when I was playing in grade 10, I would kind of say that this was kind of like my peak. From there, I like kind of went down a bit. But I think this grade 10 year was like when I was 16. Those are my good years. Lord, bring it back. People say, do you play anymore? I'm like, I'm retired. I'm not washed up. I'm just retired now. I had a coach. His name was Dave. Somebody say Dave. Dave's a good name, right? Dave's a good name. And Dave was also a good coach, although Dave scared me like nobody else. He was a coach that I didn't really know too much about, but this guy, he wasn't afraid to really say what was on his mind. And if you were doing something that you maybe weren't supposed to be doing, Dave, you better know he's going to let you know about it. I didn't know Dave super well. So when I was in grade 10, I played up with the older guys because, you know, I was all right. Like, I was a pretty good player. I wasn't the best, but I was okay. So I was playing up with the older guys. And so Dave was kind of the older guy's coach. So I didn't really know him super well. And so I started playing, I was a second baseman, so I was in the infield. I don't know, some of you guys are probably like, what does that even mean? It's kind of like close to the pitcher. Forget about it, it's okay. And so one of the jobs, or one of the things that we'd always do at practices is we would practice fielding our ground balls. And so, you know, like a ground ball is a ball that is on the ground, obviously. And we'd practice fielding it and throwing it. And before games, we would always do what's called an innie-outie, or an infield-outfield, where you basically just like go through different game simulations to test it out and to practice, see how you were doing. So make sure that you were ready for the game. I remember one day I would say like pretty much the whole season, I was pretty nervous. I'm not typically a good infielder, I was more of an outfield guy, but the coach thought I was gonna be a good infielder. I don't know why, but that's just what he thought. And so he put me on the infield, so I was trying to become an infielder, so I was learning to like practice receiving the ball well, I was practicing the technique and having my hand here. Some of you guys are like, what is he talking about? There's a reason, I'll get to it, don't worry. But Dave, one day he comes up to me, and he's like, man, why are you making so many mistakes? He would say, why do you have the yips? Has anybody heard of this, the term the yips? Basically, if you're like really nervous, you got the yips. So like if you're like, so for example, like during the game, I should be like desiring, like I hope the ball gets hit to me. But a lot of the time I would be like, Lord, please let the ball not come to me so I don't have to make a mistake. Because sometimes there would be a whole game where the ball wouldn't come to you. But anyways, I was making quite a bit of mistakes, and knowing me, I was pretty competitive, and I would get pretty frustrated at myself. I would think, man, like, I was supposed to be this young prospect, you know? I'm supposed to be this guy that's supposed to be making these routine plays look easy, but I'm making a lot of mistakes. People around my team are kind of looking at me. Some of the guys would actually call me Yips. Can I just say that there's a lot of nicknames I like to be called, but Yips is just not one of them. I was making a lot of mistakes, and I come back into the dugout. I was so frustrated, so I sat back down, and I kind of put my hands like this, and I was kind of like just frustrated like this. And I remember Dave, this guy, comes up to me, this coach who I was pretty scared of. He comes up to me, and he puts his arm around me, and he says this 6 words that I'll never forget. I was feeling so bad, and he looks up to me. He puts his arm around me and say, look at me. But he'd talk with a bit of a lisp because he had some chewing tobacco in his mouth all the time, which is totally an unnecessary detail, but now you know. And he looked at me, and he said, breathe, bro. It's just a game. I was like, it's easy for you to say. You're on the bench. You're sitting on the dugout. It's these words that really went such a long way. I was like, I was so surprised. I'm like, I know it's a game, but just hearing him say it in this deep, manly, grizzly voice, he said, breathe, bro. It's just a game. And I don't know what it was, but there's something that kind of, it struck a chord in me. And I don't know, sometimes a few words can really go a long way, right? Whether it's like some criticism or whether it's some maybe a piece of advice that you get from one of your parents or your friends or whatever it may be. But sometimes a few words can really go a long way. And as I look into the story, I notice that in this crazy situation where Jesus and his disciples are in, the disciples only needed a few words to see who Jesus truly was. So let's look into the story. But before I do, I want to give you guys a little recap of what happened for Jesus in this day. This is a little day in the life of Jesus. So the day started back in Mark 3, verse 20, where he had this confrontation with some Pharisees who essentially said Jesus was possessed by Satan. And the reason that he was able to perform these miracles is because Satan's power was flowing through him. So first thing right away, not a great start to the day for Jesus. And they also accused him of blasphemy, which was in this day and age was punishable by death. So again, Jesus is not off to a great start. And then continuing forward, then Jesus' brothers came to see him and tried to take him away because they thought he had lost his mind. So now there's this family tension that's taking place. And not to mention, Jesus was in the heat of the day teaching these stories, teaching these parables to his disciples, teaching to large crowds of people. Jesus is pooped. Jesus is tired. So at the end of the day, it's nighttime. Jesus and disciples, they go to the other side of the lake. But while they're doing that, Jesus is like, you know, I need to take a quick nap. When I look at the life of Jesus, I think, man, if Jesus had a YouTube channel, his day in the life videos would be crazy. Like, the little things that would go on in his day would just be insane. So it's this crazy day, and like anybody, after a long day, sometimes you just need a nap. Anybody like to take naps in here? I know my dad does. I remember after church on Sundays, just out him right now, he would preach. He was a pastor as well, and after Sundays, he would just come home and just watch golf and sleep. And I'm just like, why are you doing this? I'm like, hang out with me and my brother. But he would just sleep. But I realized as I got older, I'm like, after a long day, sometimes you just need a nap. Shout out to a good nap. So as the story plays out, we see Jesus and his disciples are caught up in this furious squall, which is a super funny term. It's like, when I think about it, it's like, man, imagine if the weather was really bad and it was really windy. I would never be like talk to my wife. I'd be like, babe, look at this squall up here. Isn't it crazy? Like, who uses the word squall? But as I kind of dug into this word, this furious squall, many commentators actually associate this with a hurricane. So there's this crazy intense storm that's taking place, and the severity of the storm is also communicated and depicted through the complete terror that's seen in through Peter, Andrew, James, and John, who were all disciples of Jesus, and all these guys were fishermen. So the fact that this storm even spooked these guys just further proves how intense, how serious, how chaotic this storm was. Not to mention it was nighttime. How many of us know that everything is a little extra scary at nighttime? So there's this violent hurricane-like storm that halts Jesus and his disciples' journey across the Lake of Galilee. But there's this beautiful moment that takes place. there's this beautiful moment that takes place here. Amidst the chaos of crashing winds, of hurricane-like winds, Jesus reveals himself to his disciples, the people that are closest to Jesus. He shows them who he really is. So let's look back in the story here. I want to kind of just dissect it, break it down, and then we'll finish with some worship. It'll be a good day. It'll be good. So verse 35, it says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side, right? So they make their way through in the boat to the other side, leaving the crowd behind. They took him along just as he was, and there was also other boats with them. And then we know that a furious hurricane suddenly arose, and the boat was nearly swamped. And then Jesus was in the stern, right, sleeping on a cushion. I love that detail. He's got his nice Tempur-Pedic, you know, cushion, pillow. He's relaxing in the stern of the boat. He's just relaxing. He's had a long day. He's had a hard day. As I was doing a little bit of research, I wanted to see what other accounts of this, what it said. And if you read in Matthew's account in chapter 8, Matthew uses the word suddenly to describe the emergence of the storm that takes place. How many of us know that life happens suddenly, hey? Everything can be going good. Everything can be, man, everything is going just the way you planned it. Your kids are behaving. Your kids are listening to you. You know, school is, maybe if you're a student in here, school is going well. You're making friends, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden, there's these suddenly moments that emerge, that happen in our lives where they leave us totally blindsided and they leave us totally questioning, like, hold on, everything is going good, and then what just happened? Like, we just are totally left so shocked as to what just happened. And it's interesting. I did a little bit of research on the Sea of Galilee, and this is the sea that the disciples went across. And it's a pretty big place. It's a pretty big lake. It's about 13 miles in length and about 8 miles wide. And many commentators believe that where Jesus was and in the storm, it was about 5 miles away from shore. So they're definitely in the thick of it. But it's interesting. The Sea of Galilee, the lake's unique geographic location and topography make it highly susceptible to sudden changes in wind. So it's actually crazy. So when it says suddenly there was a furious squall, it's actually crazy. In this place, at the Sea of Galilee, it's known for these sudden violent changes in weather, which is crazy. Whereas here, you know, you would see the clouds slowly rolling in. You would see the wind slowly begin to pick up, right? But here, it was calm, and then all of a sudden, there's chaos. How many of us know that storms in life have the ability to bring to the surface what's really happening in our lives? Storms have a way of revealing the true nature of a person's character and a person's heart. When you're in a storm, when you're faced with a difficult opportunity, you really see who a person is based on how they respond to the chaos and to the trajectory of what's being thrown at them. Everything can be going well, then suddenly you're hit with this news. Maybe you find out a loved one is sick, or you find out that the job you're hoping for falls through, or maybe you get a diagnosis that isn't exactly what you planned, or you find out that the business that you're trying to start off is just not getting off the ground. There's so many things, the list can go on. Sometimes I wonder if God will bring unforeseen circumstances and situations into our life to test our heart, to test our character. It's not a problem following Jesus in times of comfort, in times of rejoicing, times of confirmation. It's easy to answer the Lord. It's easy to be obedient when the prayers are getting answered, amen. It's easy to go to church when the worship is fire, like when Ezekiel plays every Sunday. It's easy to come to church on these days, but how many of us know that when storms come, when chaos happens, when life suddenly happens, it's a lot easier said than done. Jesus and his disciples were totally out of their comfort zones. One thing I also realized is Jesus' disciples, the four of them that were fishermen, these guys were really scared. But these guys are also only familiar with mostly staying close to shore. So these guys are net fishermen, and when you're fishing only with a net, you're staying pretty close to the shore. So these guys were pretty far out. So this goes kind of just further points to the fact that these guys are totally out of their comfort zones, and they freak out, and they call upon Jesus in this desperate cry, and then Jesus responds. Maybe if you're taking notes or you just like a nice one-liner, I want you to remember this. God will lead us into moments where only the voice of Jesus can bring peace in the pressure. Amen. Regardless of the situation, whatever it may be, life can totally blindside you and leave you questioning Where are you, God? And so often our first and our immediate response is fear. We I don't know about you, but I'm a person that overthinks a lot. If something happens wrong, my mind starts racing in a million different directions. Maybe you can relate to that. But so often our first response to chaos and fear is stress and doubt and pretty much everything but peace. Why is this? Why do we always feel this way? I'd like to propose a question today, and maybe this is touching on it a little bit. Maybe you only know Jesus as the teacher and not the Savior. It's interesting, as you look in the text and as you read the words carefully, the text says, "Teacher, don't you care that we drown?" It's interesting, right, that they address him as teacher, not Savior or not Lord or Master, but they say, "Teacher." I don't know about you, but man, when I was in school, if I was in a storm, I would not want any of my teachers, especially Mrs. McGee in grade 3. Mrs. McGee is not doing anything for me in a storm. I need an experienced seaman, you know? At this point in the biblical narrative, Jesus, it's important to know that Jesus, kind of leading up to this, so from the moment that Jesus, his first miracle was the turning the water into wine at the wedding of Cana. And then kind of from there onward, Jesus had performed 11 miracles and 15 parables, kind of leading up to this moment that we see here in Mark chapter 4. So they've seen Jesus do these incredible things, and have heard him teach some profound theological insights about the coming kingdom of God. But here we see Jesus' disciples refer to him as teacher. They didn't know Jesus as the God whose literal words bring complete and utter silence to the very fabric of nature. They don't know Jesus as the person who has dominion and authority and power over all things, even the waves and the winds of the violent sky. They know Jesus only as a teacher. And I wonder, maybe as you're listening to me talk today, maybe you're thinking to yourself, I want this peace. I only know Jesus as a teacher, but I want to know him as something a little bit more. Maybe you've forgotten that the God that we sing praises to, that the God that we read about in the Bible, is the God that is totally capable of doing immeasurably more than we could ever ask, think, or imagine. Jesus is more than just a teacher. He is our Savior. Amen? He is our Savior. So church, I want to ask you a question today. Is Jesus only your teacher? We're talking about peace today, which is one of my favorite topics. I love peace. It's like, if I don't know what to pray for peace. That's usually a good answer. We're talking about peace, but I wonder, maybe you've done a lot of reading about peace. Maybe you've done a lot of singing songs about peace. Maybe you like to like write poetry or something about peace. I don't know what you guys do in your free time. But you maybe have never experienced it personally in your own lives. And as I said at the beginning, my prayer today is that we would leave not only learning about it in here, but it would become real in our hearts. Amen. We can learn all about the Bible, but if it doesn't become real in our lives, if it doesn't become activated in our own personal lives of Jesus when we're not at church, then what's the point? What's the point? So let's go back to the story. Let's go to verse 39. It says this, so he got up. So remember, the disciples are freaking out. The water's pouring into the boat. He's freaking out. And then, so he says, he got up, rebuked the wind, and he said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. I love that detail. In some other translation, it says the sea was like glass. You guys ever go camping, and you wake up maybe early in the morning? My mom would always do this. We'd go camping in the Okanagan. And I would wake up at like 9 or 10, because that's what kids would do, right? They sleep in. My mom would wake up nice and early, because that's what she does. And she would say, "Oh, Ben, you should have seen the water. It was like glass this morning." I'm like, "Mom, I don't care how beautiful the water was. I would way rather sleep than see this glass water." But it's this beautiful imagery that really shows the effect when Jesus enters the scene. There's this chaos. There's these crashing waves. There's this complete, utter turmoil, and then when Jesus speaks, there's this complete calm. There's this complete calm. That's the God that we serve. Amen. Verse 40 says, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Or no, pardon me, he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And then those famous three words, "Quiet, be still. But I wonder, in the situation that they're in, I wonder if it wasn't just a quiet, be still, but it was like I'm not going to do it because I don't want to break this microphone, but it was this declaration that everything that's happening has to bow down to the name of Jesus. There's this authority that takes place where Jesus is saying, quiet, be still, and then it's calm. That's the God we serve. That's the God that we sing to. That's the God that you read about in scriptures that we're reading about today. He's not just the teacher. He's the God that can speak in situations that are in chaos and situations that are in turmoil. Completely bow down to it.
Thank you, Lord.
So good. When I look into the story, I wonder if we can learn the simple truth that in the storms of life, Jesus is never far, but he's waiting for us to invite him in to our situation. He's waiting for us to invite him into our storm. In life, I think we all know this. I think in life, we always know that there will be storms. That doesn't surprise us, right? Like if I say if you get peace, you're never going to experience any storms again. No, there will always be chaos. There will always be storms. The violent winds and the crashing waves, they lose their grip because with the words that Jesus speaks, there is a complete calm. It's amazing. Jesus is inviting us as his people to invite him into our storms. He's inviting us into the chaos that we may be dealing with. I wonder sometimes, maybe, I don't know, I just feel the Lord even speaking. Like, I wonder if Jesus is saying, I'm sleeping and I'm waiting for you to wake me up. Like, I wonder if Jesus is maybe sleeping in your storm right now. And you're like, Jesus, where are you? He's so close. He's waiting for you to call upon his name. I'm reminded what Jesus says in Matthew 11:28. You guys are all familiar with this verse. Well, maybe not all, but a lot of you maybe. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me. There's this, Jesus is saying, you need to come to me. And this is cool. This is what the disciples do. They come to him. Maybe not in the same approach that Jesus maybe would always want it. But sometimes in our desperation, Jesus is totally okay with our chaotic, Jesus, I need you. It doesn't have to be like, God, if you're willing, like, could you please like just come do something in my situation? Like, no, I think it totally pleases the heart of God to know, or it pleases Jesus to know that no matter what our posture is, whether it's in chaos, whether it's in peace, that Jesus wants us to invite him in. Matthew 11, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. And I wonder if we could change that word. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you peace. And I will give you peace. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Do you need to have rest for your souls today? It's in Jesus and Jesus alone.
Thank you, Jesus.
Friends, peace. The peace that we're talking about today is only received through partnership with Jesus. I want to say that again because some of you missed it. Peace is only received through partnership with Jesus. We started off today's conversation with the question, can we have peace in the storm? Yes. Don't forget about it. We're going to come back to that. So I guess the golden question, the golden question is, how do we be at peace in the chaos of life? And I wish I had a clever one-word sentence or a one-liner that you could leave and post it on your Instagram, but I don't have an exact one-liner. But I wonder if verse 41 is a bit of a, it allows us to really get a glimpse of maybe how we as believers can access this peace when the chaos of life is happening all around us. Verse 41, it's the end of the narrative, it's the end of the story, it's the end of Mark's kind of unpacking of this story, and they say they were terrified, and they asked each other, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? When was the last time that you had a who is this type of moment? When was the last time that you had a moment when you realized that the storm is much smaller than the God that you sing to and the God that you worship? When was the last time that you had that moment, the who is this moment? We all desire that, I think, right? We always want to have these moments. I really hope that our desire as Christians here today, or maybe you're not a Christian, and hey, we're welcoming you, we're glad you're here. But I think we all desire peace, and we all desire to know God just a little bit more than the previous day. I wonder if our prayer today, and I wonder if maybe the application for you today is, God, give me a fresh revelation of the peace that only you offer.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
It's interesting. So in the last verse, the disciples, they pretty much get Jesus, and he comes in, and remember, he speaks, and everything was completely calm. And it's funny. The text describes that they were terrified. I don't know about you, but I feel like if I was in a storm, I would be pretty stoked. I'm like, I think I'm about to die. I think I'm about to drown. I can only tread water for like 10 minutes. I'm 5 miles away from shore. I'm about to die. I'm pretty happy. But instead, the disciples are like, we're terrified because who is this? Like, who is this guy that we thought was just a teacher that talked about sowing seeds? And the faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. Jesus is teaching all these parables. But then they see this Jesus, this teacher, right? They see him and they're like, what kind of teacher is this? Who is this? It's so fascinating that they use the word terrified. And I think the description of teacher is now out the window. And there's this different addressing that needs to take place. The Jesus, this Jesus that silences the storm, that even causes fear in the disciples' eyes amidst the chaos, is much more than just a teacher. Friends, I want to tell you, maybe you've never heard it today, but Jesus is God. Jesus is God in the flesh. Or as I say to my youth, Jesus is God with a bod. I knew some of you guys would like that one. I remember, this is kind of a side story, but after I said that in our first week, I heard some of the kids were like, dude, Jesus is just God with a bod. And I was like, yes, they took away something. This Jesus that we sing to, this Jesus that we learn about, that we want to grow more in understanding and learning about it, is much more than just a prophet. But church, Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the coming one. He is, as the Bible describes him, he is the Prince of peace. That's such good news. Amen. If you don't believe me, right away from the very beginning, Mark 1 verse 1, it reads, the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. And just 10 verses later, when Jesus is getting baptized by John, he says, you are my, and then remember, the voice of God descends like a dove, and it says, you are my son, whom I love you, and I'm well pleased, my son. And then even in verse 24, one of the first miracles that Jesus performed, even the demons know. What do you want with us, Jesus, son? What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. All throughout Mark is kind of like this, who likes action movies in here? Does anybody like a good action movie? Yeah, I know some of you guys, there should be more hands that's raised. I know some of you are like, I like the rom-coms, I like the thrillers, but no, this is like an action movie. There's a lot of immediately's, there's a lot of suddenly's that are happening in the story. And time again, Mark is really showing the reader, showing us today, that time and time again, that Jesus is more than just a prophet. And here, Jesus isn't just declaring that he's the Son of God, but he is demonstrating that he is the Son of God. Friends, the Jesus that we sing to is more than just the teacher.
Amen.
Jesus doesn't just declare it, but instead he demonstrates it. And this completely spooks the disciples. It's interesting. Can I remind you about, maybe we go all the way back to Genesis. God spoke to create something out of nothing, right? Remember, I guess a lot of us here grew up in Sunday school. You know, we know that Jesus, or pardon me, that God, he spoke and things came to be, right? The things that we see, you, me, you know, we got elephants, we got turtles, we got pigeons, we got all every kind of animal. I did this at youth group, and the kids just started naming animals I've never even heard of. I'm like, what even is that? God, he created everything by what? By speaking it. God spoke to create something out of nothing back in Genesis. And here in the text, we see Jesus speaking, and the very wind and waves that were spoken into existence is subdued by the same voice and with the same degree of authority. Jesus is God. And the disciples were terrified. I think if we were to be in the, I think if we were in the storm, if we were to put ourselves in the narrative that's happening right now, I think if some of you guys were saying, I wouldn't be scared. I don't know if I believe that. I think a lot of us in here would be pretty spooked when they realize that the sheer, the creation is being obedient to the voice of Jesus. Mm-hmm. The disciples were terrified. Mm-hmm. When you realize how grand and how powerful God is, our perspective of our current struggles begin to grow strangely dim.
Thank you, God.
Maybe you haven't been experiencing peace. It's because maybe the storm is much bigger than the Jesus that you serve. But can I just remind you that the God that we serve, church, the God that we sing to, the God that we read about, Jesus is much, much bigger than the storms that life may throw at us.
Thank you, Lord.
So good. In this moment of the story, the disciples knew that they didn't need to be afraid anymore. Why? Because the storm was much smaller than the voice of Jesus. They knew that since Jesus was, they're like, maybe, I think they probably had this revelation, they're like, maybe this guy is a bit more than just some wise teacher. Jesus is God in the flesh, and he is the Prince of Peace. If we want peace in our storms, we need to call upon the name of Jesus. That's the only way.
Yes.
As a fellow follower of Jesus, can I encourage you that self-help books won't get it done for you, that wise advice is good, but friends, can I just say that if you really want to experience true peace, it's only found in Jesus. It's only found in him.
Amen.
I'd like to invite the band to come back up as we close. You know, for me, me and my wife, Maya, we moved here a couple months ago. I came from Victoria, and she came from Chilliwacken, and this has been a totally new season for us. We just got married a couple months ago, and so I got this new amazing role here at the church, being the next gen pastor, which, by the way, is so awesome. I love being here. Thank you guys for welcoming us so much. It really is. Sometimes I think, I'm like, I have to go to work today, but it's like, it feels like the greatest blessing being able to do what I do here. So thank you for welcoming us. But as I'm sure you realize that when it comes to a lot of change that we endure, change can sometimes be a bit scary, hey? You know, we moved here. It's a new city. She has a new job at a hospital. I have a new job here. New house. Pretty much new everything. And we're just trying to figure it out day at a time, one day at a time. And it's so cool because when Daniel asked me, hey, Ben, you're going to be doing the series on peace. You're going to be talking about peace. I thought, wow, that's such a God moment, because for me in my life, over the last several months, there's been some challenges and there's been some difficult moments where I didn't really know what to do. And I'm like, God, am I in the right place? Like, did I pick the right house for us to live in? Are we doing all the right things right now? I would just begin to worry. And like I said earlier, I would begin to overthink and stress about things that I don't need to stress about. And it's cool. I would often be praying and I would pray for pretty much everything but peace. And as soon as I started asking God, Lord, I need your peace right now. Guide me, lead me. I need your voice. I need the peace that only you offer.
Amen.
That's when I really started realizing I'm in the right place. I'm in the right season of life. I don't have to worry. I don't got to stress about the little details. Why? Because the storms, or maybe for us, it wasn't an actual like chaotic storm, but it's a lot of new change. Maybe that's for you. Maybe it's a lot of change in your life right now. I needed peace. And I wonder today, maybe you're in the house of God today and you're thinking, Ben, I need some peace today too. We're going to have some time to pray. And I really believe that God wants to extend forth his peace to you, because we live in a world that is confused, that is broken, that is searching. And friends, we know this. And I keep saying, I want to drill this into your minds. That peace that we need is only found through knowing Jesus. In life, we endure countless moments where we do feel a lack of peace, but what we need to remember is this, that there will be a day, there will be a time where there will be no more stress, there will be no more anxiety, there'll never be any more fear. All of it will be wiped away, and there will be complete shalom, complete peace. the last verse I want to direct you guys' attention to is in Revelation 21. It was actually part of our Advent reading last week. And it says this, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea." You think, Ben, why are you sharing that verse? It's kind of random. It's important to know that all throughout Scripture, the sea is a depiction of chaos, rebellion, not just the sea, but the violent crashing waves. It's a depiction of chaos and rebellion. But as John writes in Revelation, there was no longer any sea. There will be a day, friends, where we will approach Jesus just as we are. We'll all stand before God one day. Mm-hmm. And I pray, and I long that we would all experience that well done, good and faithful servant, and that we'd be in this new heaven and this new earth, what is promised in Revelation. We don't have time to unpack all of that, but it's so amazing because it says, "And there was no longer any sea." Another way that you could translate this, "And there was no longer any chaos." There's no longer any pain. There's no longer any rebellion. Everything is perfect. Everything is in perfect peace. There will be a day when that happens. In the meantime, before Jesus returns, because how many of us know we want it to happen sooner than later, but we're in this life and we're going to endure countless trials. We're going to endure moments of persecution, times of trouble. But friends, can I just say that we can remind ourselves that we can experience peace. It may not be the same degree of peace that it's talking about as John writes in Revelation, but I wonder, the storms that we endure, we can experience peace. Why? Because Jesus is in the boat with us. He's in the boat. Maybe he's just sleeping and he's waiting for you to wake him up. Would you stand with me today as we close? If you're physically able, we'd like to stand. And as we transition into worship, I want to just take some time to pray and really believe that God wants to do a work in the lives of people here this morning. And so maybe throughout today, you're thinking, man, I need some peace in my life. I need some peace. I'm going through a storm. I'm going through some troubles. I'm going through some chaos. I need the peace that is found in Jesus. If that's you, can you just extend your arms like you're receiving a gift? Just open your hands. I want to just pray for you and really believe that God wants to do a work in your life. Oh God, we thank you for this beautiful morning that you've given us. God, we thank you that you're here with us right now. Lord God, you say, Jesus, you say, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." God, I just pray if there's anybody in the house of God today that is experiencing the chaos of life, that is experiencing just total and utter just confusion, Lord, they're just experiencing just the weightiness of life. God, I just pray right now, would you just administer your peace to every single person under the sound of my voice? God, I just pray right now, and in this season, as we long to, and as we draw near to welcoming your arrival as a baby, Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. And we know that you are the source of peace that we need. And so, God, I just pray right now that you would extend your peace in the house this morning. God, people who are feeling stressed, people who are maybe riddled with anxiety, worry, God, if there's people that are overthinking, maybe even right now they're thinking about things. God, I just pray right now, would you just come and deliver your peace, the peace that is from heaven, the peace that goes without understanding, mm-hmm. the peace that we can't explain, and that's because it's from you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. God, I just pray that you would encourage every single person in here today, God. Remind them, Lord, that though they may be in a storm, I thank you that your voice and your authority is greater than any storm that they may be dealing with. Jesus, we praise you, and we love you, and we give you all the glory and honor. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to worship together, church, so let's worship together.